Good morning. Thank you to Caroline and Kyle and John and Chris and Jesse. Yeah. It's just always good to remember all of our music's volunteers, and these people don't have to be up here doing anything, and they do, and we're very grateful. Happy Seahawks Cowboys Day. It's a rare day. Comes along every now and then. As my brother revealed to you last week, I am a Cowboys fan. Grew up in Texas for those important years when you choose your team. Stayed faithful. And Seahawks are probably going to win today, but that's okay. I'll still be, yeah, okay, I know, go Hawks. I'll be fine if they win. I kind of like the Seahawks sometimes. Okay, two quick announcements. One, the book club that's been around for a year and a half, I think. We are starting a new book by Pierre Teilhard de Chardin called Evolution and Christianity. And it's what we're meeting not this Tuesday, but a week from this Tuesday. I think it's the 10th. Encourage you to come. For one, if you tell people you're in a book club reading a book by Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, they'll think you're really smart and wise and genius, which is true. Even though none of us understand the book, I've already talking to Clyde over here. He's like, I don't get it. I'm like, me neither, but it's going to be fun to talk about. And some of you talk about community and getting in at branches and whatever all that means. This is a great way to do that. It's 6:30 on Tuesday mornings. Yes, it's early. It's not that early. It's even light now that we've fallen backward. So encourage you to be here. It's a fun time, and it's a great time to get into it. And we've only had like 5-6 people on a consistent basis and gotten to know them really well, and it's been a great time. So again, man, women, child, old, come one, come all. Tuesdays, 6:30. Second announcement, very quickly, on the website, you are able to book coffees with me. And sometimes I just think that comes off like you're going to book a coffee with me for me to counsel you. I'm encouraging you to book coffees with me for me to get to know you. It's one of my favorite things, and the most favorite is when I have no idea who this person is, and I go and meet them and find an amazing story, which seems to happen all the time, and they've been at branches for 6 months, and I've barely said hi to them, and I get to know them. So encourage you. It's a little cold and impersonal, but we don't have a receptionist here, any kind of person to organize my calendar, so I put everything up that I'm open for, and you get to fill it in. And it's awesome, and I would love to meet you and hang out with you, so don't ever feel like you're burdening me. And if you are, I'll just shut down all the days I'm open, and then you can't. So it's really great. Encourage you, though. I love meeting you, so do that online, and it's very simple. Okay. We are in week 6, I think, of the prophets. We spent some time in Hosea. We are done with that, wrapped it up a couple weeks ago. My brother spoke last week. That was awesome. I was so happy you all got to know Rand. And then we're going to spend 3 weeks in Amos, which we are starting today, then a week in Micah, and then it's Advent already, which is unbelievable. But today, it's not there yet. Don't panic. Amos, we're beginning Amos. And before we get into this kind of unique prophet, I want you to just ponder a question, maybe think about it. I'm not going to ask for answers or you to raise your hands. But I was listening to a Spotify playlist over the week, and this song came on that the world is burning. And the chorus was just, the world is burning, the world is burning, the world is burning. And it was this entire song of just how bad everything is getting. And this is a sentiment you'll hear a lot. You'll hear it in politics. You'll hear it in faith. You'll hear it in all kinds of conversations. But I want you to just think, is that true to you? Is the world burning? A couple weeks ago, I was listening to a speaker, and he started talking about America and going kind of off on this crazy downward spiral America's on, and he basically said in so many words, America is burning, right? Can I get an amen? Amen. America's burning. Again, think about that idea and how you would answer that. Is the world burning? And it's a really interesting question because people would often answer it for two completely opposite reasons. Some would say, well, yeah, the world's burning because of this. And others would say, well, no, the world's burning because of this. And I can't believe you said that. And actually, that's why the world's burning, because people like you are still around who think that. And these people say, well, that's why the world's burning, because people like you. We get into this whole, why do we think this? And are those things accurate? Because as we enter into Amos, Israel is at a spot where they would not answer, the world is burning. They would say, things are fantastic. Things are awesome. Our king, Jeroboam II, is running everything perfectly. We have wealth. We have strength. We have power. We are expanding our territory at the expense of our southern neighbor, Judah, who we've separated from. Remember the two tribes, Judah, 10 tribes, Israel. Israel is rolling. And if you were to say, is the world burning? Israel would be like, no way, man. Things are awesome. Everything is great. And here's a list of words that they may use to describe how great everything is. It's coming, I know it is. They have winter houses. They have summer houses. They have houses adorned in ivory, which at that time, you have a house adorned in ivory. Oh yeah, we're rolling. We have mansions. So our summer houses and our winter houses and our houses adorned in ivory are also mansions. We have nice pillows, which who doesn't want a nice pillow? If you have nice pillows with some good, fine silk from the east, you're rolling. Lush vineyards that produce bountiful amounts of wine, good wine. We have beds adorned in ivory. We have couches for lounging. I mean, and when you have a couch for lounging, even better than just a couch. We have choice lamb and fattened calves for dinner. And we have the finest lotions. Is the world burning? Did you read this list? Au contraire, mon frère. We are rolling. Things are good. And even better, we're God's chosen people. So the reason things are rolling is because God has blessed us. And we are so grateful. Hallelujah. PTL. Now, how many feel like this is kind of a setup? Like, okay, I know where this story goes. Right? How many people? Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you think of, okay, yeah. Once we start showing lists like this, winter houses, summer houses, mansions, houses adorned in ivory, beds, fine wine, choice meals, and you start thinking, God is the reason behind all this. I know what's coming next. I've been at this prophet thing, about to get lambasted. Now, if you have that sense at all, which everyone in here, I think, to some degree does, it's really interesting to ask yourself why. Why do we read a list like this and then listen to people go, yeah, we have all these things because God's blessed us. We're God's chosen people. And there's something in us, and maybe bigger for some of you, smaller for others, that goes, oh boy, I feel like this is not going well. I don't feel like this is going to end well. This is a setup for something. Really interesting that we all kind of innately have this thing like, okay, but joke's on us. That is not what this shepherd, Amos, comes and says. In fact, quite the opposite. So here we go. This is how Amos begins. For three sins of Damascus, even for four, I will not relent. This is God speaking. There's going to be this refrain, for three sins, even for four, which no one knows exactly what it means, but it's almost as though you're at the point where there's a lot of evil happening, and now God is not going to change. God is coming in hard. Damascus is an enemy of Israel. Okay, I like where this is going. So, Damascus, because she threshed Gilead with sledges having iron teeth. And this is a war that Damascus had with Israel, in which they literally took human bodies and threshed them into dust. A horrific, brutal, violent war atrocity that happened to Israel. And God says, guys, I know this happened, and let me tell you, I am ticked off. Maybe we could relate this to ISIS today. God comes in, this prophet comes. ISIS, I know what you're doing, beheading these people. You're doing these terrible atrocities, and trust me, I will not relent. In fact, God goes on, I will bring fire, I will ruin your walls, I will break down your temples, your thrones, I will kill your kings. It's just, here we go. I am bringing ruin to this place. And we all say, cheers, sitting on our couches with our wine. Wow, God, thank you for finally admitting you don't like what ISIS is doing either. Great. The prophet goes on. Gets better. For three sins of Gaza. Gaza, part of the Philistines. Another enemy. Even for four, I will not relent, because she took captive whole communities and sold them to Edom. So at another time, another enemy took Israelite slaves and sold them to another enemy. And again, God says, I don't like this. So again, I'm going to bring fire, I'm going to tear down their king, I'm going to bring ruin upon them, I'm going to destroy them, and we sit on our ivory couches in our winter and summer houses, and we cheers that God finally agrees that these enemies of ours are terrible, and they're doing terrible things, and yes, preach it, Amos. I love this Shepherd Amos guy, man, keep it going. He goes, oh, I got more. Here we go. For three sins of Tyre, even for four, I will not relent, because she sold whole communities of captives to Edom, disregarding a treaty of brotherhood. Again, another enemy who sold people to another enemy and disregarded a treaty that had been made with King Solomon, who was one of our great kings in our history, made a treaty with the king of Tyre. We're never going to do this. And he broke the treaty. And we know what we think about people who break treaties with us. Thankfully, God agrees. I will bring fire. I will bring ruin, I will destroy their king, I will destroy their walls, on and on it goes, right? Cheers. God, man, things just keep getting better. Amos says, I'm not done, I got more. For three sins of Edom, even for four I will not relent, because he pursued his brother with a sword and slaughtered the women of the land, because his anger raged continually and his fury flamed unchecked. There's this great passage in Zechariah where God says that the nations that feel secure make him angry. But just a little angry. But then they took the punishment too far. It's this really cool, weird passage from God. I don't like nations that feel secure, but it's okay. But you know what? Then you took it too far. And this again, Edom, slaughtering the women of the land, you took it too far. And we again say, thank you for recognizing another of our enemies. And again, God says, I will bring fire, I will bring ruin, I will destroy their gates. You get it, right? Are we done yet? Oh, no. For three sins of Ammon, even for four, I will not relent, because he ripped open the pregnant women of Gilead in order to extend his borders. And again, terrible, atrocious, ripping open the pregnant women to prevent any generations from continuing. I will shut these people off in this violent, heinous crime. And God says, I don't have time for this. I am sick of this, what your enemies have done to you. And again, I will bring fire, I will bring ruin. Okay, we get it. And for three sins of Moab, even for four, I will not relent, because he burned to ashes the bones of Edom's king. So it's a long story, but it basically goes like this. Israel and Judah got together with Moab to attack Edom. They lost. Edom killed Moab, who was the king's son, Moab's king's son. In revenge, Moab's king burned Edom's king's son alive, is what most people make of this passage. And God says, again, terrible. Can't believe people are doing this. You're burning someone alive, enemies of Israel. Again, I will bring fire. I will bring destruction. I will ruin their king. I will, And we sit on our couches in our winter and summer houses, and we say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amos goes on. For three sins of Judah. Oh, Judah, that's interesting. They're kind of close to us. Maybe Canada. You know, like, we're we're apart, but we're close. We've got a lot of similarities, but we're a little bit different. We can say, well, we're not them. Even for four, I will not relent, because they have rejected the law of the Lord and have not kept his decrees, because they have been led astray by false gods, the gods their ancestors followed. Which, again, if we're talking about burning people alive, threshing human beings to dust, ripping open pregnant women, and then we get to this, they've rejected the law of the Lord, have not kept his decrees. Huh, I mean, I get it. This doesn't really seem as terrible, I'll be honest. And it's Judah, which makes me pause for a moment. But we did separate from Judah. They're doing their own thing. We're actually kind of using them to expand our territory. Okay. So here we are on our couches for lounging, drinking our abundance of wine, eating our fine dinners in our winter house or maybe our summer house. Either one is a mansion adorned in ivory. And we know God is blessing us and we're doing well. And you guys all are getting this feeling like, okay, now it's for sure a setup. Like, is this really the story? But again, cheers. God, thank you for sending Amos. Thank you for showing us that you agree that all of our enemies are atrocious, violent, barbaric, evil people doing terrible things, and you are not going to let them get away with it. Once again, hallelujah, PTL. Amos, it's been great knowing you. Amos goes, oh, well, I'm not done. I'm just getting started, actually. Here we go. This is what the Lord says for three sins of Israel. Uh-oh, I was afraid of this. Wait, what? Yeah, for you guys. Even for four, I will not relent. They sell the innocent for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals. They trample on the heads of the poor as on the dust of the ground, and deny justice to the oppressed. Father and son use the same girl, and so profane my holy name. They lie down beside every altar on garments taken in pledge. In the house of their God, they drink wine taken as fines. Leave this one up if you can. A lot of interesting things here. They sell the innocent for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals. These are people in poverty who owed a debt. And the debt was very small, but the Israelites were saying, even though your debt is very small, you are going to be in bondage to us because we are going to demand that debt be paid, and if you can't pay it, you will be our slaves. They trample on the heads of the poor as on the dust of the ground. The poor, those in poverty, stuck, trampling over them as on the dust of the ground. Do we even notice the dust? Do we care? It's annoying. It gets on our feet. Ugh, these poor. They deny justice to the oppressed. Justice is always this means of equality, of equal balance, right? We even use these scales for this idea of justice. No, there's injustice here. Father and son use the same girl and so profane my holy name. A lot of commentaries on this. Some say these were temple prostitutes, but others say, given the context of this, which I tend to agree with, female bondservants who couldn't get out of their debt. And so a father and son would force her to be a concubine. Once again, oppressing those in a position who can be taken advantage of. They lie down beside every altar on garments taken in pledge. Leviticus, Exodus, has this idea of you can take someone's garment to go on a trip. But if you take their garment, and they are poor especially, you always must return the garment by sunset. And it even says, if you do this for someone who is poor, you have done a righteous act before the Lord. So if you're going to take someone's ability to stay warm for your own comfort, you better return it so that they can stay warm in the night, especially if they are poor. And this says, no, you're lying down beside every altar on garments taken in pledge. You're ignoring that. In the house of their God, they drink wine taken as fines. Oh, where did you get your beautiful vineyard and your lush, bountiful wine? From fining those who have to pay. So we're talking about tearing open pregnant women, turning a human body into dust, burning someone alive. What your enemies are doing is wrong. And now I'm going to come to you, and you know what your sin is? You're oppressing the poor. What? God, we're doing great, man. Things are awesome. We have winter houses, summer houses, mansions, and you're blessing us. No. No, I'm not going to relent on this one either. Your sin is oppressing those beneath you and not even noticing. And Amos, of course, goes on. This is God speaking. I will tear down the winter house along with the summer house. The houses adorned with ivory will be destroyed and the mansions will be demolished, declares the Lord. As a shepherd rescues from the lion's mouth only two leg bones or a piece of an ear, so will the Israelites living in Samaria be rescued with only the head of a bed and a piece of fabric from a couch. And it goes on. You put off the day of disaster and bring near a reign of terror. You lie on beds adorned with ivory and lounge on your couches. You dine on choice lambs and fattened calves. You strum away on your harps like David and improvise on musical instruments. You drink wine by the bowlful and use the finest lotions, but you do not grieve over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore, you will be among the first to go into exile. Your feasting and lounging will end. This idea hinges around you do not grieve over the ruin of Joseph. While Joseph was in a pit that his brothers had thrown him in, what did his brothers do? They ate a nice meal. This goes back to Ezekiel talking about the sin of Sodom. And the sin of Sodom was that while people were in oppression and poverty, you ate bountiful meals and became so full you could barely move. This is your sin. You sit on your couches in your summer homes eating your great meal, completely ignoring what's happening to my people. And therefore, all of this stuff you think you have, I'm taking it away. I'm not a fan. Is the world burning? No, man, things are great. Oh. Huh. And of course, Amos goes on, right? We got one more here. They do not know how to do right, declares the Lord, who store up in their fortresses what they have plundered and looted. You levy a straw tax on the poor and impose a tax on their grain. There are those who oppress the innocent and take bribes and deprive the poor of justice in the courts. Therefore, the prudent keep quiet in such times, for the times are evil. Which I just love that line. Is the world burning? No. We are as strong and as rich and as powerful and as great as we have ever been. Would you like a glass of wine? Have a seat on my couch in my winter home. Thank you, God. Also, thank you for pointing out that our enemies are doing atrocious, terrible things. No, the days are evil. The days are evil. For things like, I mean, this is crazy. Straw tax on the poor. Imposing a tax on their grain. Taxes? We're talking about things like taxes. Which again, I didn't make it up. Just reading you Amos. This is what the prophet says. No. All this stuff you're coming by, I am not a fan. So what do we do with this? We're just starting. We're going to have two more weeks on it. But here maybe are some first thoughts. When we have fine wine and winter and summer homes and mansions and houses adorned in ivory, and we start to think with these things or because of these things that we are God's chosen and we are doing things right, better than everyone else, we might want to be careful. Here's what Amos says. Are you not Israelites? The same to me as the Cushites, declares the Lord. Did I not bring Israel up from Egypt? Oh, yes, you did. Thank goodness. The Philistines from Kaphtor and the Armenians from Kir? God speaking. Yeah, you have a lot. That's awesome. I love you. That's awesome. I brought you out of Egypt. That's awesome. I brought you out and things are going great. That's awesome. And don't forget, I love all them too. And I'm bringing them up from their lands and out of slavery. So don't start getting on this thing that you're the ones. You're the chosen ones. Yes, you are chosen to bless the world. And right now what you're doing on your couches with your wine and your fine meals is oppressing people. And I have no time for it. A second thing that just, it strikes me so big is, why is it so hard for me to acknowledge the stuff I'm doing to bring destruction and harm on people? It is so easy, and the image, I just love it. I do it. I sit on my IKEA couch, a little different than ivory, but nonetheless. I sit on my couch with my glass of wine, and I love talking about all of the other things that the people are doing that are so evil. Oh, boy. Yeah, they are just gross. This is a cab? Wow. The flavors, the fruit is just, oh. Anyway, did you want a pillow? Here you go. Anyway, what were we talking about? Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what these people are doing is disgusting. And thank God that he agrees. That he has said what these people are doing is terrible, it's barbaric, it's violent, it's atrocious. And man, I completely miss that I'm sitting on the greatest sin. And this is the prophets. And this is why they're so good, even though I kind of hate them. Because the prophets come and they point out the thing you're sitting on. And they say, yeah, though, bad things, yeah. But have you thought about this? Have you thought about where you get the stuff you have? Have you thought about how it oppresses people that God loves? And it's very important for those of you who have been here, remember Hosea, this voice of Hosea, right? Because at this point we're starting to feel like, oh man, God's about to strike me down. This is a God who comes with love and mercy and kindness for all and says, man, I don't like what you're doing to my people. I'm not okay with this. Just like I'm not okay with that. But we got to talk about this as well. Now again, if you're like me, I start to just, the world is burning. Whew. Not for the reasons maybe some of us first thought, but the world's burning. Then I come across a USA Today article, and it's about the millennial generation. And the millennials, I'm not saying they're perfect. No generation is. Okay? But it was a really interesting article. They did a massive survey of millennials around the world. And this is what they found. 65% of millennials said one of their top three goals in selecting a job was to make a difference in society, their city, or country. That's pretty cool. Asked about the top three issues facing the world today, others say, what are your greatest worries? This is an entire generation. What's your greatest worry? 56%, over half, named social and economic inequality. 42% included climate change and environmental preservation, and 33% identified education for all. Half of them said their national government was neither fair nor honest. And again, this is the kind of stuff, even if you disagree with the millennials, this is good to know who you're talking to when you're talking to about a third of our church. A lot of them are gone today. It's fall break at Whitworth, but this is what is coming down the pipe. Half of them, our governments around the world, are not fair or honest. 46% had the same view about the media, while 35% said they distrusted religious leaders and armed forces. I liked how they're put together. religious leaders, armed forces, don't trust them either, more than a third. Which again, you can say, wow, the world is burning, or you can say, I don't know, probably a third shouldn't be trusted at least. The most admired figure among the millennials was the late Nelson Mandela, followed by Pope Francis, Elon Musk, Mahatma Gandhi, Bill Gates, and President Obama. Now, some of you read those and you go, oh my gosh, the world is burning. These people. I would just say some things about all of these guys. Nelson Mandela, known for the reconciliation of entire races in South Africa. You can agree or disagree with some of his policies, the way he did things, but this was a person known mainly for trying to bridge some of the inequality gaps between races. Followed by Pope Francis. Again, we quote Pope Francis a lot. I find it amazing that an entire generation has a pope as a hero at all. And you can, well, Pope Francis, I think it's amazing. Pope Francis is one of your heroes? The guy who refuses to live indulgent? No, I'm just going to live in the guest houses. Refuses to drive? No, I'm just going to do this. One of their heroes. Elon Musk. Elon. Modern day Batman. This guy's insane. And I have to admit, I love the guy. One, he makes Tesla, which all of us want, even though it goes against everything I just said. But I still really want one, because it's saving the planet, you guys. It's battery operated. It's not using oil. Elon Musk, though, many define him as capitalism done well. He's changing capitalism. He's doing it with a different angle, a different vibe, a different perspective. And again, is everything he does perfect? No. But I think there's something millennial generation likes about him and the way he's making money, even. Mahatma Gandhi, I mean, Gandhi, I think we all know about Gandhi, right? If you don't, go research Gandhi. But again, a man, nonviolent, trying to bridge inequality. Bill Gates pledged to give away 95% of his wealth with his wife. Bill Gates is giving away massive amounts of money. And Bill Gates, when asked about his religion, gave a really interesting response. He basically said, I don't know about faith. I think there's a God. Science hasn't proven some things. But in so many words, he said, my faith is stopping inequality and preventing it. That's his faith. And then Obama, I'm not even going to go there because some of you are going to be this too political and you're like, I don't know. Obama. Take what you want here, but this is what I think you have to give me the liberty to say. If you take a generation of people coming up and that have been, that is most closely aligned with the prophets. Okay? The general theme of the prophets. I gotta say, this millennial generation is looking pretty good. They care about a lot of things that the prophets seemed to have cared about for thousands of years. And on the flip, they don't really care about a lot of the things that some of us have cared a lot of things about. That maybe the prophets didn't really care a lot about either. So when you ask me, is the world burning? I say, the world's looking awesome. Because maybe we're finally starting to get this message. And we're starting to at least have worries and ask questions and pursue jobs and action and look at leaders who are doing stuff that the prophets have been telling us to be aware of for a really long time. And again, agree or disagree, maybe we could say it this way. We have a lot of millennials in this community. Have them out to coffee. Who are your heroes and why? What are your worries and why? What do you look for in a job and why? And hey, maybe we can all learn a little from each other. And maybe we can keep this train going. And of course, millennials have things to learn from the older generations, of course. And maybe we can start a dialogue and a conversation that continues us on what I think is a good one. Let's end in a prayer. And again, I think in this series, I prefer to just stop talking. It's convicting. It's convicting to me. It's maybe controversial in your head. It's maybe pokes at some of the things you don't like to be poked. I know it does for me, these messages of the prophets. And so maybe we just take a minute to let God speak. And maybe try to listen, to feel, to be moved, to become aware. God, thank you that you love us. Thank you that you're merciful. Thank you that we have a lot. And help us to at least be willing to look, to think, to ask where we are bringing destruction and may not be aware of it, where we are oppressing people and not bringing love, where we are looking the other way when there is suffering and injustice. Help us at least to be willing to take a glance in that direction. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have an amazing week. Enjoy the game. Go in grace and peace.